Everybody ready to get going? Let's begin. Good afternoon. My name is William A. Hobbs. I'm Deputy Secretary of State, and I'm conducting this hearing on behalf of Secretary of State Gigi Dennis. And this is a hearing conducted pursuant to Section 14909, Colorado Revised Statutes. The hearing is being recorded. The time is 3:50 p.m., and I'm sorry about the late start. Thank you for your patience. For the record, also, the date is June 7th, 2006, and we're meeting in the Secretary of State's Blue Spruce Conference Room, 1700 Broadway, second floor, Denver, Colorado. This hearing concerns a protest submitted by candidate James McDavis challenging the letter of insufficiency issued by the Secretary of State in response to his candidate petition for nomination at the August 8th, 2006 primary election as for House District 37. On June 1st, 2006, the Secretary of State notified Mr. Davis that the Secretary of State had determined that his candidate petition contained an insufficient number of eligible electors' signatures for certification to the primary election ballot. And on June 5th, 2006, Mr. Davis submitted a letter requesting reconsideration of the statement of insufficiency. Initially, there was some confusion on the part of our office about whether that was submitted within the five-day requirement of Section 1-4-909. It was submitted within the 5 days, and although the notice of today's hearing asked for parties to be prepared to address that issue, I find that the protest was submitted within the five-day requirement. We did issue a notice on June 6th, which set the hearing for the protest today at 3 o'clock, and we're just running a little late. The notice of hearing is a part of the record of this proceeding. I would note that under Section 2421-108, Colorado Revised Statutes, the proceeding is not subject to the requirements of the Administrative Procedures Act. However, generally, we'll follow procedures as necessary to conduct a fair and expeditious hearing. Let me maybe start with the protester and have you introduce yourself for the record. Is the protester present? And if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself.
Good afternoon. Rafael Flores for Mr. James Davis. I'd like to begin, first of all, by thanking you for hearing us. I know that this is a very time-consuming and tedious process. The Secretary of State's office has been nothing but professional and courteous to us. We just feel that the data that was gathered is where the problem lies.
Okay, thank you.
To my right.
Go ahead and introduce others then if you haven't. I wanted to introduce people from the Secretary of State's office as well, but go ahead.
To my right is Mr. Scott Shires, and the candidate and protester, Mr. James Davis, is in front of me.
Okay, thank you. At the table with me, to my left is Hillary Rudy of the Secretary of State's office, and to my immediate right is Rose Sanchez, also of the Secretary of State's office, and we do have a court reporter transcribing the proceedings as well. Just generally what, again, we don't have to be too formal about this, but the burden is on the protester to submit evidence in support of the protest. I'll give Mr. Flores an opportunity for an opening statement and then an opportunity to present evidence as appropriate. We do have Ms. Sanchez has the ability to look at the voter registration database and to project the results using the Secretary of State system and project those results on the screen that's in the room so that everyone can see that. In order to facilitate the free exchange of information, I anticipate that Ms. Sanchez may be called upon to either explain procedures or determinations made and so forth, and what her role is and so forth. So in the interest of maybe just an expeditious proceeding, I think I'd first like to just swear Ms. Sanchez in so that her statements would be on the record and under oath. So Ms. Sanchez, I'll go ahead and do that. Would you identify yourself first for the record, please?
My name is Rose Sanchez. I'm the Elections Division staff member of the Secretary of State's office.
And do you swear affirm under penalty of perjury that the testimony that you give today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. And one other question. Could you explain what your role is with respect to checking signature or checking petitions for candidacy?
I am the supervisor for the petitions verification process.
Okay, thank you. I think that probably is all the preliminary remarks I need to make. And so, Mr. Flores, perhaps I will turn it over to you and let you guide the proceedings from here. So.
Thank you, Mr. Hobbs. I would just very briefly, just a quick statement of facts. On May 25th, Mr. Davis submitted a petition to the Colorado Secretary of State nominating him as a Republican candidate for the office of State Representative for House District Number 37 at the primary election to take place on August 8th, 2006. Mr. Davis submitted a copy of the candidate nomination form for approval by the Elections Division to the Secretary of State's office. Subsequently, the Elections Division, Ms. Sanchez, issued a letter stating that this office has reviewed the petition format and it conforms to the applicable statutory requirements. The Secretary of State later notified Mr. Davis by a letter dated June 1st that she had determined that Mr. Davis's candidate petition did not appear to contain the required number of signatures. And that brings us to where we are here.
Mr. Flores, pardon me for interrupting. I just, one of the things, and there may be others that I've omitted, but just for the record, I did want to find out if there's anybody else present who desires to enter an appearance. The notice did go out to other candidates. So is there anybody present that wishes to enter an appearance? Okay. And seeing none, I just want to make that as a matter of record. So proceed.
So basically, we're here today to challenge the rejection of the eligible petitioners and ask that their signatures be reinstated and that Mr. Davis be placed back on the ballot. And I would like to, at this time, introduce some evidence towards that. To my right is Mr. Scott Shires, and I would just like to briefly bring him in as a witness because he is the one who has personal knowledge of all this of all the evidence.
Mr. Shires, then I'll administer an oath just at this time. For the record, would you identify yourself, please?
My name is Scott Shires.
Do you swear or affirm that under penalty of perjury that the testimony that you give today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I so affirm.
Thank you.
Mr. Shires, could you state your full name and occupation for the record?
Scott Lewis Shires, and I'm currently the CEO of Campaign Compliance Center.
Okay, and what type of services do you provide?
I provide compliance filings with the Secretary of State and petition advice and act as the treasurer for various campaigns.
Okay, and how does your occupation relate to this particular hearing?
I am the registered agent for the campaign for McDavis for House District 37.
Okay, so you do have personal knowledge of the process that Mr. Davis has gone through with regard to the discrepancies and rejections of the signatures?
I do.
Okay. At this time, I would like to begin to introduce some exhibits. The first exhibit is a primary designation position petition. It's labeled 1-1 through 133. And I'm going to hand this, I guess I have to say it for the record, hand this to Mr. Shires, who's next to me. Mr. Shires, can you identify what that is?
Correct. These are copies of the petitions that were given to me by the Secretary of State's office after we had submitted them to them.
Okay. For the sake of efficiency, Mr. Hobbs, these were given to us by the Secretary of State, so can I assume that they would be self-authenticating?
I think so. Is there any reason, Ms. Sanchez, I think you presumably can confirm these are the petitions.
That's my knowledge, those are accurate copies, true copies of Mr. Davis's petition.
Okay.
Would it help her if I gave her a copy of those?
Do you need a copy, Ms. Sanchez?
I have the originals here, so.
Okay, thank you. What purpose do these petitions serve?
These are the names of people that were approached by a circulator and asked by the circulator to sign the petition nominating Mr. Davis to the ballot for the primary ballot.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to hand you what we have marked as Exhibit 2. I can't get it out of David, if you could identify.
And by the way, I will just go ahead and admit Exhibit 1-01 into the record.
I apologize. Yeah.
Okay. Yes, sir. This next exhibit is the candidate affidavit by Mr. James Michael Davis to be a candidate for House District 37.
Okay. What purpose is that, sir?
It actually registers his name with the Secretary of State as a candidate for public office.
At this time, I'd like to that be entered into the record, please.
If there's no objection, then Exhibit 2 is admitted into evidence. Okay.
This is Exhibit 3. Mr. Shires, could you please identify that document?
This is committee registration form, and it identifies me as being the registered agent to act on behalf of the campaign and the committee.
Okay, so you do have personal knowledge then of the events that took place?
Yes.
At this time, I would move that this be entered into evidence.
Exhibit 3 is admitted into evidence.
Handing to Mr. Shires, Exhibit 4, if you would identify that, please.
This is a Secretary of State letter dated April 7th to McDavis saying that his petition format had been approved, reviewed, and approved for circulation.
And the purpose of that?
Is so that we know that the petition that's being circulated is meets all the statutory requirements to actually place the name in nomination.
Okay. And I would like to admit this into evidence as Exhibit 4, please.
Exhibit 4 is admitted into evidence.
Exhibit 5 from the State of Colorado. Also, Mr. Charles, can you identify that, please?
This is a June 1st letter from the Secretary of State's office. It reports the results of their review of the petition and notifies that it was insufficient.
Okay. And how many signatures did the Secretary of State identify as insufficient?
A total of 134 out of 1,066 submitted.
Okay. At this time, we would like this submitted into evidence also.
Exhibit 5 is admitted into evidence.
Exhibit 6, Mr. Shires, if you would identify that, please.
This is a partisan petition, Davis 037 rejected records report provided by the Secretary of State at the same time that they provided a copy of all the petitions. This is a list of the names that they found to not meet the standards in their review with rejection codes on each of the names.
So it would be accurate to say that Exhibit 6 works in conjunction with Exhibit 5 to show exactly the reasons the 134 signatures were invalidated?
That's correct.
Okay. Can I ask provided by the Secretary of State's office, is that correct?
Yes.
That's correct.
And I see circles and some comments and so forth. Were those on the copy that I have in front of me, were those part of what was provided by the Secretary of State?
No, those were done by myself, I believe, in the hallway outside in conversation with Wayne Munzer, member of the staff,
okay.
Basically at the time. So I never got a clean copy back to the office.
Okay. So Exhibit 6 is admitted into evidence.
I'm handing you Mr. Shires, Exhibit 7. It consists of two pages. If you could identify that, Mr. Shires.
This is a letter that Douglas Troop, one of the notaries for several of the petitions, prepared. In the process of signing a number of petitions, he failed to use his notary stamp on petition number 20, thereby rejecting at least 40 signatures, perhaps only 38, because there were errors found with two of the names on that petition, other types of errors. So there were 38 names rejected solely for the reason that there was no notary stamp. So we located the notary, had him make the statement, had his statement notarized, and he provided a copy of his notary stamp on a copy of the signature page of Petition 20.
So, Mr. Shires, did Mr. Troop give you any indication at the time, once the once his notary stamp was affixed and the affidavit was completed, what would be the outcome of the rejected signatures?
Mr. Douglas Troop did not, but the Secretary of State's office did. When I came to turn this in, I mean, this is part of one of the circles of all the 14 that had, rejection codes that had been recorded for Petition 20. I was told that if I could fix the notary and get a copy of the stamp, that those names would be reinstated. When I turned this in to the Secretary of State's office, I had a conversation with Wayne. He said that the letter appeared to be sufficient. I asked him if that meant that these 38 names were restored and would be part of our count. He asked me to wait a minute, went into the Secretary of State's office somewhere. About 4 or 5 minutes later, came back out and said those names are restored.
Was it your understanding that at some point a member of the Secretary of State staff actually looked at those, then checked those 38 names?
The 38 names had already been checked on the copies that were provided to me as an accept. That's the A off on the far right-hand corner. The only thing that made those 38 signatures not acceptable or towards the count was that there was not a notary stamp. I was informed on Thursday that that did not require a protest letter, that I could simply restore the 38 simply from the notary by fixing the notary statement. By getting a copy of his stamp submitted to the Secretary of State's office, and that could be done without the formal process of a hearing. And when I appeared on Friday, I asked him if the letter was sufficient, if it said all the correct things. He said it did. Again, I asked him if that meant the names had been restored. He went somewhere else in the Secretary of State's office while I waited at the counter, came back out and said the names are good.
I have additional questions about the individual names, but for the sake of tendering Exhibit 7, I'll admit Exhibit 7. I'm not necessarily reaching any conclusions about the effect of Exhibit 7 at this point.
Okay. Mr. Hobbs, it is our plan to introduce the last exhibits and then come back to certain exhibits, and maybe that would be a perfect time for that.
That's great.
Okay.
Thank you.
So I'm sorry, Exhibit 7 is then accepted?
Is admitted, yes.
Exhibit 8 is the letter, the protest letter that, that I personally sent to the Secretary making a notice of this hearing.
And that's just the protest itself. And
that's correct.
And that's admitted into evidence.
Okay, and in Exhibit 9, you'll recognize, and I believe you've already brought up the timeliness and issue. So I think that we're okay on Exhibit 9.
And
Exhibit 9 was sent on behalf of you, Mr. Hobbs. It let us know that the protest was scheduled for today, and also that the beginning of the hearings would be devoted to the issue of timeliness and standing.
Got it. So that Exhibit 9 is admitted into evidence.
Mr. Shires, we have Exhibit...
Exhibit 10 is a letter from Arapahoe County regarding the petition to nominate Nick Davis to the ballot. It's an attached list of 32 names, and 31 of the voters identified on the list are registered in House District 37 and are affiliated with the Republican Party. It noted that one of the names that we submitted was not, that it was an unaffiliated voter. And therefore, the Arapahoe County Clerk and Recorder's Office verified that the information on this list is accurate regarding registration, voter name, address, county, affidavit number, party affiliation, registration date, and party registration date.
And the second part of the exhibit is a list, a protest attachment. If you could identify that, please.
Correct. There are three pages, all certified and sworn to and under the seal of a notary from Arapahoe County, that they had reviewed the voter files and were certifying the county affidavit numbers and other information regarding 32 voters.
We would ask that these exhibits be admitted.
And Exhibit 10 is admitted, again, not necessarily accepting the assertions at this point, but for the sake of the record, that's admitted into evidence.
Exhibit 11-1 through 11-9. Mr. Shires, if you could identify that.
Exhibits 11-1 through 11-9.
It's actually 11-10.
11-10. One not so numbered with the exhibit stamp. These are affidavits that were prepared regarding several of the individual voters on the list that was submitted to the county to be certified as Republicans. And myself, my wife, and Mr. Davis went back out into House District 37 and went to several of the doors of several of the people who had been rejected and collected affidavits from them explaining that their intent was to nominate Mick to the ballot, that when they signed that petition that was their intent. And their statements on number six go to the issues addressed by the Secretary of State's office as to why their names have been rejected. For example, Exhibit 11-1, Edward Winslow actually signs his name Ted Winslow and is stating that he has gone by the name Ted for quite some time. And I'm trying to find real quickly whether his name was actually reinstated already by your office, and I believe it already has been okay to select on that affidavit. But we have 10 affidavits here addressing various different shortfalls in the petitioning process where the Republican voter has said it was my intent to nominate Mr. Davis.
I'll admit 11-1 through 11-10 into evidence. Or is it 11-11? It is 11-10, is that
correct?
Okay.
If I might ask a question, the protest attachment that was provided to me by your staff, I would also like to admit that also. Obviously, it's not numbered at this time. We can label it. There are some okays and some not okays, and there's certainly some notes on it. So some of the voters have been restored as far as the petition goes. I don't know how you would like to handle it as far as getting the count or making a ruling on it, so I would leave that up to you.
Could you show me which document you're referring to? Because I think I have a copy in my stack, so I just want to get on the same page, literally.
Okay. And I went ahead and labeled them page 12-1, 12-2, and 12-3.
Well, maybe if you've got one labeled, maybe I ought to switch with you. I don't know. I want to have a version. Either we have them marked as exhibits, or I'll just use what you've got.
Yeah. There are additional marks that I've already made on number 12 in red ink that are not part of the staff's comments.
I hate to keep switching back and forth.
I know. I think you better keep the copy that the staff provided.
I'll mark them myself because I don't want to deprive you of your comments. But it looks like exhibit. I'll consider the entire exhibit as exhibit 12.
Okay.
And I may need to have Ms. Sanchez help authenticating the document, but if you could describe again what this document is and where it came from and what the marks are and so forth.
Briefly, Ms. Rudy handed us the document at the beginning of the session. She said that they had done some work and gone through the signatures and made certain conclusions as to whether the signatures are or not were valid for these purposes. And we've gotten an opportunity to look it over. There are some notes, obviously, in it, so we would have to work through together with her help, possibly, to figure out exactly what kind of effect it makes.
I've probably forgotten something. The underlying printed document without the marks, is that already an exhibit?
It is.
Exhibit 8 or 9? Or maybe even 10.
Is
Exhibit 10?
Yes.
It's an attachment as part of Exhibit 10?
Correct.
And again, refresh my memory here, the attachment, what is labeled as Protest Attachment McDavis for HD 37.
These were names that, upon our review of the petition, we believed should have been counted as part of the original accepts. Some of them just based on the fact that there was newer data at the county, more recent data at the county than the Secretary of State had when they first conducted their review. So there were newly registered voters or voters that had moved from one county to another county and updated their registration upon their move. We also found names that they had signed by their nickname. So we're not readily apparent to be the correct name. For instance, Lillian, if I may direct your attention to, I've just got to find her name on the number 30. So it'd be on page 3 of 3, count number 30, Lillian Garrison. We have just submitted Exhibit 11-5. Which is an affidavit from Lillian saying that she has gone by the name of Billy her entire life. So she signs, her signature is Billy, but when she registered as a Republican voter in House District 37, she registered her formal name as Lillian R.
We may need to, I think, at some point dig into this kind of one by one, but our on what is tendered as Exhibit 12, the handwritten notes are who's responsible for the handwritten notes on Exhibit 12?
It's my understanding that it was part of your staff. I can't answer exactly who it was.
Ms. Sanchez, can you provide that information?
Yes. An employee of ours, Barb Schaefer, did some research for us.
So all of the handwritten notes are from our Secretary of State employee, is that correct? Okay.
And we might note that the Secretary of State's office is okay to accept 11 of the 32. And the handwritten notes, as we understand the handwritten notes at this time.
And how can I tell that from Exhibit 12?
Exhibit 12, for instance, line 1, Michael Lindauer. Above the address line, the words okay to accept.
Mr. Hobbs, if I may, I think that I agree with you that we're going to probably have to go through this line by line and obviously decipher the notes. I think at this time, all the evidence that I'm going to introduce has been introduced. And then now we can go back and go through each individual voter signature and make some headway.
Okay, I will admit Exhibit 12 then.
Oh, one more exhibit.
Oh, we do have one more exhibit. It is at your right hand. Currently, this is a list compiled by Mr. Davis. Mr. Davis literally went door to door to petitioners that he believed live and are appropriate to sign the petition. And this is the list that he compiled of petitioners that believe that they should be on the list, have always been on the list, and believe that their petition should count.
I probably need, at some point, a little more explanation of that, either from Mr. Davis or just you may be able to provide it. So I don't know whether now's the time or whether I just go ahead and admit it. For what it is,
you know, I think that we should start getting into the signatures, and that's fine with me if you think now's the time. And I'm sure he's happy to describe it.
Okay,
Exhibit 13.
then I think we probably need to put Mr. Davis under oath as well. So I don't know whether it's convenient, Mr. Davis, to just kind of pull the chair up just a little bit so that you can speak into the microphone. And if you'll identify yourself, and then I'll administer an oath, please.
My name's James Michael Davis, also known as Mick.
Thank you. Mr. Davis, do you swear or affirm that the testimony that you give today is the under penalty of perjury is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Absolutely.
Thank you. And Mr. Davis, the document that's tendered, and I've tentatively marked it Exhibit 13, could you, again, maybe somewhat repetitious, describe what this document is?
Absolutely, Judge. I derived this list here as a second list. Again, the timeliness of putting it together was sort of a challenge. But I went through the rejection list that the staff offered and extruded or took out names that I thought off the top of my head that would be acceptable under a liberal consideration. For example, the first line here is the wife of a Navy buddy I fly with. They live in a neighborhood I'm familiar with. They're Republican. Their parents are Republican. And so what I tried to do with this list is pull people out of the 154 rejected names of people I had a personal relationship with. In my door-to-door notes, I often took notes so I could remember to thank people or circumstances. For example, I would ask for the wife who was listed on the voter file list that I got from the county clerk. When the husband would say, well, I'll sign, I said, well, I'm sorry, you're not on the list. I'm a Republican. I've always been a Republican. So I took note of those, particularly knowing that I may run into a conflict later on. So I derived this list from examples of people that I had close personal relationships with that I didn't have opportunity to go get an affidavit from due to scheduling conflicts. So I derived this list at the last minute to support my case.
And just guide me through it just a little bit. The first column says number, and then they're numbered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, et cetera. What does that signify anything?
In this case, each number is, for example, Judith Barbeau. She was a name that was on the rejected list that I would petition to reclaim. Bobby Wagner, whose wife I know, but she wasn't home and I didn't get her petition. He signed my petition, but he is not in the system whatsoever. And they both moved from Texas last year. So these are the kind of discovery going door to door that I found with inconsistency in the data between Secretary of State, the county clerk, and just, you know, going door to door. Ann Feed. Her husband is a fireman who's in our district. They moved from Douglas County last year. They have two children my son's age. She's not in the voter list at all, although she was in Douglas County. So I saw a pattern going door to, you know, imagine going to about 1,200 doors. I saw a pattern of where spouses were dropped or inadvertently or they were not correctly entered into the county database. I have a personal experience with myself when we moved from Denver County to Arapahoe County that happened with me. My wife got registered when we did a change of address, but I didn't, so I had to actually re-register. And so I started taking note of that as knowing that, you know, going door to door with petitions was a challenge that I'd better take copious notes.
So again, you know, let me just make sure I understand. You from the reject report, you picked out names that you wanted to look at further, that you've arranged, you've numbered them just in the order in which you picked them out or which you looked at.
I put them in order what I consider highest probability of acceptance. All these people are Republican. All of them wanted to support me, and that was their intent. So I picked out the most obvious down to people who moved down into this number six, John Anderson. Him and his wife were actually moving into the house when I knocked on the door. There, John Anderson was rejected initially because of the incorrect address. So I found his old address and, of course, the address he registered under intent. I thought, well, he did want to sign my petition. He has not, the data between the county and the Secretary of State hasn't caught up to his new address because I caught him right while he was literally moving and painting. Same with Ellen Warner and Marvin Saxton. I didn't know him personally. It was just he had moved. On the second page, I get into a different classification of families. For example, it was interesting going door to door again, meeting sometimes whole families with four and five members who are Republicans. That was sort of nice, and you know, one stop, get five signatures. Some of the families, I ran into, well, you're not on the list. Well, I'm a Republican. I filled out my thing a long time ago. And so I noted the people I had wrote down in my side notes as I went door to door. So I pulled them out and put them in this list because I feel comfortable under oath affirming that I actually talked to these people and they're Republican and they intended to support me. With number 11, Patty Benavides, I called her this morning since I didn't know her personally and I didn't recall actually going to her door. I called her this morning and she affirmed the same, that she was a Republican 100%. And I told her what I was going through and she was pretty sympathetic. So that's why I put her in the list. And the next group down, these are again family members. A lot of them are students. The son, Tim Clarkson, who goes to UNC, I didn't get a hold of him, but his dad, I explained the situation to his dad. He goes, oh, no, he's Republican. So is my other son. So that's why I classified these this way in terms of, you know, these are Republican families who were supporting me. But for some reason or another, the data doesn't reflect and their intent. And it knocked me out of knocked their signature out of the automatic acceptance list. And the last page, which are people, I couldn't find any record whatsoever. However, I called, there's only one Drew family in all of Arapahoe County's database, but Rick Drew signed my petition, but I can't find him anywhere. I went from the most confident of intent personal relationship to the least, perfect strangers who... These are just samples out of, again, the 154. So I tried to pick for consideration, a variety to show my intent that I'm in good faith, got these signatures.
I may have other questions, but I think at this point it's sufficient, based on what I've heard, to admit this document into evidence as Exhibit 13. Again, but I'm not necessarily accepting it for the sake of the truth or the effect, but only that it's information that's been provided by Mr. Davis.
Understood.
Okay.
Okay. In fact, I think that concludes the exhibits. Is that correct, Mr. Flores?
We just have one more thing. We did bring a memorandum in support of the finding. I don't know how you generally accept those.
Don't know that we need to mark it, but I will accept it.
Okay.
Although, while we're at it, I'll go ahead just for the sake of clarity, consider it Exhibit 14.
Okay. And I think also, Mr. Davis, it was clear in what he was saying that he understands that what we're after is, you know, substantial compliance, liberally construed, so that the intent of the voter is made of most paramount importance. Okay, so at this time, what I'd like to do is go back through the exhibits, and we can start attacking this, line by line, and making some headway.
Okay.
Where do you want to start? That's what I was going to say.
Okay, that's number. What do you know? This one. I'll be number in restoration.
Okay, if I could point your attention to exhibit number 7, the notary restoration. Again, as Mr. Shires stated pretty clearly, that this, what we have here is just an error. A stamp was missing on a series of sheets. And if I could also point out, Mr. Troop stamped, I would say, 21 sheets in a row. And this one was missing in the series of 21. So it's reasonable to assume that he's going through the sheets, stamping, notarizing them, and he missed a sheet. I think that Mr. Troop has been very, very clear as to exactly what happened in his affidavit, and has corrected it quite clearly also. So we would ask that these names be restored.
The petition that's attached to the statement for Mr. Troop, is a petition section.
Signature page only.
What from what petition section? Number 20.
Exhibit 1, number 20.
Okay. Section 20, I'm just trying to figure this out as I go, appears to be three pages.
Yes.
And what is attached to Exhibit 7 is the last page?
Yes.
And Section 20 contains a total of 40, it looks like 40 numbered lines or entries that appear to all be filled out. And in Exhibit 1-20, there's an R in the right-hand margin beside each of the entries, which I'm assuming, but I need somebody to tell me this, that represents the Secretary of State's rejection of each of those signatures because of the notary problem?
If I may.
Correct. And when I was first handed these, and the exhibit of the rejection list, Mr. Hobbs, got which exhibit number that is. But if you can look back to that for a moment, page 4, I don't know what exhibit number this one is, table of contents, that's about 8 or 9. Sit right there. Number 6, exhibit number 6 in the notebook, page 4. You will note that starting with the second name on this list, you'll notice that petition 20, page 1, line 1, the rejection code is simply notary error. And that continues for 40 names with the exception of 2, Charles Gale, which is line 10 of page 1, and then Chad Wiglet, which is line 10, page 3. There are a total of 40 names rejected for notary error, but 38 of them are simply only for notary error. Two of them had other problems. And obviously at 932 as the original accept, if these 14 cannot be restored, there's no hope of making ballots. So without these 38 being restored to begin with.
I think I'm coming along here. So at issue here are 38. Because of that were initially rejected because of the notary problem. It does look like the Section 20, as submitted to the Secretary of State, did not have a notary seal. The affidavit of Mr. Troop provides the notary seal, and I think that's sufficient to cure that problem. I may take some of this under advisement, frankly, or I may go ahead and issue rulings as I go, but I'm in thinking out loud. I think typically we'll accept supplemental information curing a defect such as that. Assuming preliminarily then that cures that particular reason for rejection, then I then need to turn to the 38 names at issue because since those were, as I understand it, rejected by the Secretary of State purely on that one reason, there could be other reasons to reject those names.
Understood.
And I probably then would turn to Ms. Sanchez to guide me on whether or not anyone has looked at those 38 names and whether or not there's any reason to accept or reject those 38 on other grounds.
If I might add, at the time that I was originally being handed that copy, it was pointed out to me that they had originally been accepted, that, and this should be particularly obvious on the original, that there was a letter A written next to each of 38 of the 40 names on that petition, and it's vaguely noticeable on the copies, although obviously as you get generational copies, you lose that fine detail, that they had indeed been accepted and then marked as a reject when the notary error was discovered.
And Mr. Hobbs, also my understanding, and maybe Ms. Sanchez could confirm it, when they are rejected on the table, they would put out both reasons for rejection, not just one.
That's my understanding, and that's why we're saying 38 instead of 40, because there are other reasons for rejecting two of these names.
So the N would come out as a rejection, and if there was another reason for a rejection, then that letter would also appear.
Okay. Ms. Sanchez, can you give me some guidance on whether or not these other 38, if there are any other reasons, or if you know whether or not there are any other reasons to reject these 38 names other than solely the initial reason, which was the incomplete notarization?
No, it appears that the 38 were rejected for just that reason, and they do carry a master ID number, so they would have been accepted otherwise.
So, again, as far as you know,
yes.
Those are valid signatures that should be counted, assuming that I accept the supplemental information on the notary affidavit.
Correct.
Well, then preliminarily, then I'll accept those 38 names as additional signatures that the Secretary of State accepts.
Affidavits, okay. That they haven't already accepted.
Okay. Now, turning to Exhibit 10, the individual affidavits. And again, Mr. Hobbs, there's going to be there's going to be a little bit of crossover because it's our understanding, again, in Exhibit 12, that the Secretary of State's office has accepted some of the ones already. So maybe it would be better if we started with Exhibit 12.
Okay.
Okay, to accept.
Okay. So maybe if we could go through Exhibit 12 and decipher the notes and get those, that way there's not as much crossover.
So,
we also
good.
Need to look at the petition itself. We need to look at the petition.
Okay.
The original signature.
Because this is a list, as I recall, compiled by Mr. Shires. Is that correct?
Correct. This is a list in its original form without the notes or compiled by myself.
And so we'll probably, as Ms. Sanchez indicates, need to go back and forth between this and the petition sections themselves.
And if it does help, the original under seal is Exhibit 10. that was provided. where was this provided originally? From the
Clerk and Recorder's Office of Arapahoe County.
Oh, Exhibit 10.
Isn't that the same?
Yeah. Well, this is so 12 with the notes.
Right. So Exhibit 10 was the original form under seal. Then Mr. Shires has a version with notes, and your office also has a version with notes.
Okay. So starting with Exhibit 10, Arapahoe County is certifying that the names on this on the attached list, 31 of them are in fact registered in House District 37 and affiliated with the Republican Party. And the 32nd, or one of the names, it appears, according to Arapahoe County Clerk's Office, is an unaffiliated.
That would be line number 20, Michael Krenning.
Last name?
Krenning, K-R-E-N-I-N-G.
So, then the... What I think Mr. Davis is seeking here then is to accept this the certificate initially to regardless of what the Secretary of State's database may say, accept Arapahoe County's representation that the original voter registration records for 31 signatures, that these are at least affiliated and registered within House District 37.
That is correct. And it's also my understanding that the law requires that it go by that database, too.
Okay. So, I'm still trying to figure out whether I'm ready to hear about notes or whatever, but, and we would need to look at each, because, again, I don't know whether there's, I'll have to find out what the grounds for rejection were, but maybe Ms. Sanchez, perhaps, if you'd like to clarify that, or either. Whoever can most efficiently do that, and I'll.
And we're, again, because there's overlapping, we're trying to figure out the best path that we can so that we can get through this as fast as we can.
Ms. Sanchez, were these 31 rejected because of affiliation issues, or what grounds were they rejected?
Different reasons, and also. We need to look at the petitions because there are other grounds for rejection other than just a different database, a difference in the database from what the county clerk has.
Okay.
There are reasons, you know, an incomplete line or potentially another problem with the actual signature line.
So to the extent that a problem with the signature might have been a voter registration problem, Exhibit 10 would cure that, but there may still be other grounds for rejection, as I understand it.
That's correct.
Okay.
And we have individual affidavits from some of those that you have not already accepted. I mean, I guess we're going to definitions now as to what time you start accepting names, but according to your staff's notes, you've already accepted 11 of these 31. So I don't know if we need to spend any more time on those 11 or whether the work of the Secretary of State's employee can just be recognized as accurate at this point. We've restored 38. We're now prepared to restore 11. And now we just need to go name by name on the remaining.
Okay. Ms. Sanchez, is there reason to accept? It sounds like there's a reason to accept at least 11 of these on the list. Is that correct?
I would go along with that, yes.
And which 11 are they? I mean, by section and line or some, just...
I probably should show you this one.
This 11.
I mean, is there... Well, don't...
These are different colors, so it might be...
Is this different than Exhibit 12? Because if we can refer to Exhibit 12...
Okay. Sorry.
One, I think the count number that we've gotten, if we'll just identify that as line one, Michael Landauer...
Yes.
Line one is okay to accept.
And just let me just start out real slow here. Line one, I mean, is that the first column?
Yeah, we have it labeled as count number or number count.
Uh-huh.
So if we just say that that's the line number, so number one is line number one, and that's Michael Landauer.
Okay. Where do I find that in the petitions?
Just a second. I have a cross-reference sheet that we used for working sheet, and it just happens to be, I think mine's alphabetized, and I think the list that's in front of you was organized by petition number. That would be petition 1, page 2, line 2.
Okay, well, I want for the record to identify each of these by petition section and line.
That's fine. I with just a little bit of time, I can cross-reference that sheet with that. But that should be petition 1, page 2, line 2.
Looking for something that says section 1 or something.
That would also be exhibit 10, which is your rejection list, which also identifies each name by petition, section number, page number, line number.
Well, they've done it right here.
Okay.
They've done it right there, so that makes it easier.
Actually, your notes right above the last name also identifies that as petition 1, page 2, position number 2, which I actually believe in the way the printer printed the petitions, that would have been line 32. It's just that you, Secretary of State, for reference purposes, recounted each line as one at the top of the page.
Let's see if I'm sorry to be slow here, but the handwritten note in the same box that
their last name appears
1-2-2 means section 1,
page 2,
line 2 on page.
Correct. The way we had the printer print that, that would be 32, number 32 on petition on page 3. Of section 1. Again, we numbered the lines 1 through 40, and simply in your count, that's why I'm giving them 32.
I am confused. I mean, looking at the original petition, page 2, line 2, it looks like it's numbered 17.
We go in and renumber with our own numbers?
Oh, I'm sorry, 17 instead of 32, correct.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I was adding 34.
Okay. Sir, what did you
say?
Mr. Shires, could you?
17. I apologize. I had added 20, thinking I was on page 3, as opposed to just adding 10. Get there.
So, for the sake of my trying to take notes and follow along here, I'm going to adopt maybe the convention that's used on Exhibit 10, the handwritten notes. Not Exhibit 10, I guess it's Exhibit 12, the handwritten notes 1-2-2. And my understanding is that is one that the Secretary of State agrees can be accepted. Is that correct, Ms. Sanchez?
Yes, it is correct.
Okay, and then what's the next one that that can be accepted?
Line 4, Rebecca Rohl. R-O-H-L.
So that's 6-2-15 in my...
Correct.
And that's agreed, Ms. Sanchez? Okay, next.
Walter Schmucki, S-C-H-M-U-K-I, and you will quickly learn I cannot pronounce people's last names.
Okay.
Line number 8, Diane Bogner. B-O-G-N-E-R.
And the next one?
Shirley Cullen.
I think it's the last name.
Cullen is C-U-L-L-E-N.
Thank you. We probably got factor on the spelling.
I know, I'm just trying to cross-reference to a back list of mine to make sure that I know which ones. Bruce Carvajal.
C-A-R-V-A-J-A-L.
John Lipsky.
L-I-P-S-K-I.
Just a minute, could I... Okay. That's all okay. I'm sorry. I just wanted to check. You're just going a little bit fast for me, so I just wanted to check. Go ahead.
Line 16, Gwendolyn Nelson.
There was a question about the signing date. Can we look at that one?
Sure.
Section.
Yes. The affidavit is 1110. Exhibit 1110 is an affidavit from Ms. Nelson.
Well, but you're bringing in a, it sounds like a separate reason for rehabilitating that one. At this point, I was trying to focus just on which signatures could preliminarily be accepted under Exhibit 10, the affidavit from Arapahoe County.
I had understood from the Secretary of State's notes that if the word okay was in the margin next to the line number, that it was acceptable. So I know that Rose thinks that there may be a date question on that as well. I just thought it was already okayed.
Well, there are questions. In addition to the okay, there are questions on dates and stuff. So we probably need to just review why it's questioned. I just want to be clear.
Correct. On that one, it's an April date, where the month is smeared, and it's when you look at it intensely enough, we believe the four is fairly darn clear.
Mr. Hobbs,
and it says 2009, which we believe was just a mistake of the petition.
I'm not even caught up with you guys yet. I've got so many pieces of paper in front of me here.
I think maybe it would help you if we go through the names, like we were starting, get through those, and then get to the affidavits afterwards. Would that help you?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll go back to that.
Okay, I just was going by the okay note.
No, it's okay.
Rosina?
No, I'm sorry. Where we were,
John Lipskin.
Exhibit 13. Exhibit 12 was number 16, which was section 1, page 3, line 1. So that one we may be coming back to.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And then what's the next one on?
Number 17, Rosina Nelemo.
Nelemo, N-I-L-E-M-O.
The next one was Brian Shaha.
S-H-A-H-A.
There are questions on there.
Oh, there's a question, additional question there. Okay. Edward Winslow.
That one I would give you because it's Ted. It's signed as Ted.
Okay, well, okay. Let me just get...
All right.
I do have an affidavit on that one.
Okay, we'll come back to that. But I just want to be straight. Which one of these... I think what you're telling me is which one of these relates to Exhibit 10. Which one was covered by the Arapahoe County...
Correct.
And I just want to make sure I get those first. I'm not making...
Yeah, we had originally believed there were 11, but it looks like there's 9 at this point and 2 that we need additional information on.
So that is the 11. You've given me the 11 at this point.
Correct. And, okay. Well, Rose has taken back 2 to reserve.
So, well, on the record, I mean, if you can describe, I want to make sure on the record everybody's on the same page. So,
I see questions on 3 of them that you brought up. You didn't bring up number 16, did you? Number 18.
What I think I heard Ms. Sanchez say is that numbers 16 and 18 are at issue so far out of the 11.
Correct.
And 17.
And 17.
Okay.
Now, before we go further, I think Ms. Sanchez, based on the affidavit from Arapahoe County, indicates that the Secretary of State can accept 8 of those. And I'm prepared to preliminarily go along with that. I'm just trying to go through this orderly. Then we'll come back to the 3 that Ms. Sanchez has questions about. that may be covered by other affidavits and other exhibits.
Correct.
And Ms. Sanchez, again, those others besides the three that you noted, number 16, 17, and 18, I think you've indicated that those should be accepted.
I see seven, and I'll give you the numbers. Number one.
I'm sorry, you're giving us numbers of
yes,
what?
Yes, of those that could be accepted.
Okay.
Number one. Number four. Number five. Number eight. Number nine. Number 14. And number 19. You know what, there is another one. I'm sorry. We haven't addressed it yet, though. We haven't gone over that one.
Okay.
It's number 21.
But I haven't been asked about number 21 yet.
We would like to ask about number 21 right now.
Is number 21 covered by the Arapahoe County affidavit?
Yes. This is the Arapahoe County affidavit. You see the seal stamp is still off to the side.
Right. All right. So, number 21,
I guess.
And Ms. Sanchez, that you are okay with accepting that one? So, again, let me see if I've got this straight. What Ms. Sanchez is saying can be accepted. 1, 4, 5, 8, 9, 14, 19, and 21.
Correct.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That would be a total of 8 that Secretary of State would accept. Okay.
If I may, Mr. Hobbs, I believe the count is now at 978.
Ms. Rudy, who's trying to keep score as we go, too, is what were we at, 932?
Correct, on the letter of insufficiency.
And we preliminarily accepted 38, which brings it to 970.
And when you just accepted 8, which brings us to 978.
Okay. Again, preliminarily, that's maybe where we are, so.
Eight affidavits. See if we can get those 8.
Okay, well, I think maybe that's what we start running through here now, because then we're going to have the other map anyway, right? At this time, Mr. Hobbs, I think the best way to go is go into Exhibit 10 and start looking at the affidavits, if that's acceptable to you.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Exhibit 11.
And we may skip around a little bit just so we can stay in sequence. Like line 16, Gwendolyn Nelson, is Affidavit 11-10, I believe. No, ma'am, I don't believe I did. This was initially rejected by a signing date. She put 2009. And we have an affidavit from her stating that she intended to sign 06.
Ms. Sanchez, so what was the reason for rejecting this entry?
Oh, wait a minute. This was one I believe was marked. It was smeared the 4, and I believe Mix says it's also on 2009. And her affidavit says she meant to sign at the correct date.
Okay. I see that in the original petition itself, the date of signing says 4- appears to say 4-12-09. So that would be the reason for rejection, Ms. Sanchez.
And then her affidavit, which is Exhibit 11-10.
I see in paragraph 4, I attest that on 4-12-06.
Correct. And then in paragraph 6, she says, I wrote the wrong date.
Well, and it would make sense to accept that one. I think obviously it wasn't signed on 4-12-09. I think it was rightfully rejected because of the lack of a valid signing date. But as far as I know, it would make sense to accept the affidavit of the signer. Ms. Sanchez, do you have any objection to accepting that one?
No, I have no objections.
So I'll preliminarily accept that entry.
Line number 17, Rosina Nilmo, N-I-L-E-M-O. The petition 3-1-11. The exhibit of her affidavit is 11-9. This is where she was confused and crossed out a line, did not complete the petition completely, but her affidavit says that it was her intent to nominate Mick Davis, that she signed on that date, and I forgot to fill out the form completely.
So, Ms. Sanchez, the reason for rejection here, what was the grounds?
Didn't contain a signature.
And can you explain that? In the signature block, there's a printed name.
Yes.
Is it determined that that's not a signature? Or?
I guess it was determined that that was not a signature.
So, the grounds was not that a portion was stricken, but rather that it was not, did not appear to be a signature.
I believe so, yes.
Although I am confused because the printed name
I remember the name.
Okay. Let's make sure we're getting you on the recording, if you can explain that, and then I'll ask Ms. Sanchez to help me understand this as well.
Mr. Hobbs, when I was soliciting petitions at a coffee event in a neighborhood, some of the people were nice enough to literally line up and sign my petition on the way out. It was an early Saturday morning. And the signature in question, the lady is quite elderly, and I had been to their house 5 times. It was pretty persistent, and her husband was very kind to make sure that she signed before they left. And I was shaking hands and talking at the same time. So she filled it out, gave me the clipboard back. And the next lady behind her started to sign. And only then did I notice that she had not filled out the other half correctly. And the lady right behind her had started, it started a cascade effect. So I, and by that time, and she's 80 something years old. She was already down a set of stairs. I let her go, and I thought I would probably end up losing the signature. But in consideration, I went back to her house the other night and asked her for an affidavit, and she was quite willing to sign off. And her husband, again, also signed my petition. They were very gracious. And so I thought I'd go the extra mile and try to get her signature to count since she tried twice.
And where is the husband's signature?
He is in a different petition. Okay. His name's Carl. They're Swedish. They're both in their 80s. Very nice people. Live over in the Knowles Village. And they were amused at how many times I was consistent in coming back to their house. And so she was in bed the night that I finally caught them home. And they actually are the ones that invited me to the coffee clutch. And, hey, we're having coffee in the neighborhood. Why don't you come tomorrow? You'll see lots of people who can sign your petition. And so that's how I ended up getting her signature.
So in effect, when she signed, she left blank in the printed name, the city, town, and the date of signing.
Yes, sir.
I mean, she did accept it. I mean, she left those spaces blank, but she filled in the first line in other blanks the same information, basically.
Yes, sir.
The full address and the date. She filled in, she put in the date in the county box.
And that's not unusual. You'll look through the petition. A lot of people did it backwards. They'll print first and sign, or sign first and print. And so it's especially in dealing with elders, it was typical. So I, doing the best you can to, without directing them exactly where to sign, how to sign, and being rude, I was pretty happy that people were at least willing to be nice to me at all, because going door to door is a challenge.
Mr. Hunt, also, I'm not sure if we do have Exhibit 11-9 is her affidavit. I wasn't sure if we pointed that out to you.
Yes. And I think I heard Ms. Sanchez say that the grounds for rejection was no signature.
That's correct.
So if that's the grounds, if that's the only grounds, I'm inclined to think I can accept that signature with the affidavit. Although, I do note on the affidavit, she really does have a signature. I mean, she did print her name. She did not sign her name.
Agreed.
It appears. But the affidavit does provide a signature. Ms. Sanchez, do you have any comment? Any issue with it?
I don't have an issue with it.
Okay. So preliminarily, then, I'll accept number 17.
Line number 18, Brian Shaha, Shaha, affidavit 11-2. Petition 3, page 2, line 1.
So as I understand it, looking at the petition itself, the date of signing is August 14th, 2006. I think that's the grounds for rejection, Ms. Sanchez?
Yes.
The affidavit says I signed the petition in May. I inadvertently wrote August. Seems to me that we could accept that one. Ms. Sanchez, do you disagree? So preliminarily, we'll accept number 18.
Line 23, Barbara Laird, L-A-I-R-D, petition 11-14.
Can I back up just a bit? The original 11 that you listed for me, I think initially I accept. Or actually 12, right? You 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Originally there were 12 that I wrote down, and 8 of those I accepted as a group.
Correct. Which put us at 9.
And of those 12, 3 more I have now preliminarily accepted. You did not address number 15 that was on the original list of 12 that I was working from.
That.
Okay. Now you're moving past that group of 12 to number 23.
Correct. We want to cover the rest of our affidavits.
Okay.
So we're line number 23, Barbara Laird.
Did you identify an affidavit?
11-8.
Okay, so on the petition itself, it looks like the printed name and the signed name is Jean Laird. And then the reason for rejection, the sense is that it was not found in the database.
The name, the affidavit line one does contain the name Bobby J. Laird.
The affidavit exhibit 11-8 says my full name is Barbara Laird, my middle name is Jean, and Jean is my common name. What's an explanation for why the family would have found Jean Laird, even though he represents that his full legal name is Barbara Laird?
Bobby J. Laird, correct. To go find a middle initial.
Right.
And that's how he's registered according to Lapo County, Bobby J. Laird.
So the question is Barbara J. Laird a registered voter?
Yes, line 23, the seal list to the right. So this is a registered Republican. In House 637.
Ms. Sanchez, would you accept that? Based on the as I understand it, the Rapid County Clerk certifying this as a registered Republican within House 637.
Based on the affidavit, the reason that you guys did it was because he did not find that they lived on it about that. Testifies that he did sign as Dean, and then yes, I probably would go ahead and accept it.
Okay, I'm going to accept that one.
Line 24, Viola Masterson, M-A-S-T-E-R-S-O-N. Exhibit 11-6.
I'm having a little trouble putting the pieces together on this one. The petition itself, printed and signed name appears to be Kate Masterson. Exhibit 10 refers to this
possession of Viola Masterson. The affidavit has the name of Kathleen Masterson. I'm confused. I'm still trying to figure out what the person's name is. She signs by the name of Kate. You'll notice on the affidavit that she's referring to petition 11, page 2, line 12, and that she did indeed sign on 42306. We thought that this was rejected because of an address issue. And she had just moved into the house. It's her primary residence. She will be voting there. And intends to support and wants to support Ms. Davis in the nominating process. I believe the facts of that case were that this lady's mother had passed away. They had inherited the house. They moved into the house. The registration is still Republican House 637, but with a different address from the Secretary of State's database to the address where she currently lives. And she's stating that she signs as Kate.
I'm still coming forward. So we've got code number 2, name is strong, but not if you address constitution. Is that correct, Ms. Sanchez?
Name was not found. Thank you.
Name is not found because she's Viola M, but she goes by Kate. That's how she's known as Kate, and she signs her signature as Kate. So we found her at the house where she resides in a primary residence, still inside House 637. Arapahoe County has her as a registered Republican in Arapahoe County in House 637.
Ms. Sanchez, what was the grounds for rejection for the center?
There was no, we didn't have it on our database that Kate Masterson at 5170 South Arapahoe Road. And the first one? 5170 South Monaco Road.
So the rejection was, I'm sorry, I was going by what I thought was the note on Exhibit 12. On the wagon side, I thought it said we get code 2, but it's probably we get code 1.
That's what it comes to, General.
In that family computer?
Yes.
Because of it, because there wasn't an actual field left.
So they may have found a treat last or something at a different number. Go to the 2.
We do have an explanation against the release in 6997, but, even if it was considered, if that address was considered her address within the database, they both still, both houses are resided within the district number 37. So either way, whatever address stored in the computer would still be correct for the signature of the town.
I may just be getting tired here. The petition says Kate Masterson. Grounds for rejection is there from that, basically. Arapahoe County's information relates to a Viola Masterson. I'm still having trouble finding her. There's evidence that Kate Masterson is actually a registered voter. I mean, the affidavit says she's a registered Republican, but I can't follow along with Arapahoe County's affidavit confirming that. So maybe the answer is I just disregard that, and the question would be then, ignore Viola Masterson and find out if I can just accept the address problem, and maybe if we look up the other address, 5997 East Wildwood. Thanks. I mean, I think that'd be fine. Okay.
What's the original address?
6997 East Bellwood. And Ms. Sanchez, if you'll describe to the record what you were doing and what you're seeing.
I was using the database that we used to check petitions. And apparently the reason that she was rejected is because we did find her at a different address. Okay. So that's why she was here.
This affidavit confirms her current primary residence. So the database, go ahead.
I
affidavit mentions that address, but she moved from the side address that you have as her official address.
Sorry,
the database then shows a Kathleen Masterson at 6997 East Bellwood. The affidavit says she resides at 6170. South Monica Way. And it confirms that she didn't move from that prior address. And she represents that she moved. So I make sure the problem, subject to the fact that you raised a potential issue about whether she was affiliated for sufficient reasons.
If this is the same person, the system would let me know that she was not qualified because of registration. So apparently, was registered for the non-family permit.
So if we use that address as shown in the written, if we use the address 6997 East Bellwood, it appears to be a match then. I mean, it may be that she moved to use her current correct address, as I think she is required to do, but she did not update her voter registration yet. Right. Ms. Duncan, and sorry, she obviously was part of House District 37 with a registration and voter rights. Okay. I think I can accept that. And Ms. Sanchez, do you have any comments about that one? The only reason I'm hesitating a little bit more on this one is because of the obligation to update voter registration information. But my recollection in past protest hearings where there is an affidavit from the signer about the correct address, I believe that is sufficient to restore that or to accept that signature. Preliminarily, I'll accept that one.
Line number 26, Patricia McKim. McKim. And this is Exhibit 11-7. Mr. Hobbs, I assure you that the number on the house is 7521. Whatever it may be in the voter file, the number on the house is 7521, and he's lived there a lot.
In the sense of, I don't know if you've looked at it or not, but if you, I'm assuming the problem was there was no mass on the address.
Okay.
So do we need to look at 7521?
McKim, is that the right one?
Correct, McKim.
The address is 7521,
correct? Correct.
So there is a mass at 7521. That's something that I can accept in the sense of as a mass. But I'll preliminarily accept number 26.
Line number 27, Earl Trexler, T-R-E-X-L-E-R. Exhibit 11-2.
11-2?
Yes, sir.
So in this case, the petition says that the number 27 from the Rapid County, I think it's saying that number that there is an oil structure registered at that address.
And if you notice, my legal name is Earl Joel Trexler Jr. And then he goes by the common name of Joe, as opposed to Joel, which is his middle name.
I think I the Secretary of State's database goes to a match, is that correct, Ms. Sanchez?
We rejected it because he signed Joe.
I think I can accept that one. Preliminarily, I accept number 27.
Line 30, Lillian Garrison, G-A-R-R-I-S-O-N. By the way, very conscientious neighbors, they pull out all the flowers and plant water-saving bushes. Just quite proud to point that out while we were standing at his door Monday night in his landscaping scheme to save money.
Exhibit 11-5.
She goes by the name of Bella, and that's the way she signed the petition.
Got it.
I'm not sure who wrote this, but we're doing this.
The sense of the same, I mean, on the original petition itself, it appears that the printed name is Billy Garrison. It looks like the signature is Billy Garrison, but in the number box to the left, it appears that someone has written Lillian along with something else. And this is IR, perhaps, and something I can't read.
Ms. Apple, do you mean, I can address that. In D,
doing the audit, internal audit on my position. Again, I had a good faith trying to make sure that I'm not submitting bad names. I ran across the name and I couldn't find her either. And I have a grandmother named Lillian, and she was never called Billy. So what I would do is cross check the address, see if the phone number is good, and call. And that's how I came up. So I wrote in pencil on the side as I'm editing my own list that she's really Lillian and not Billy. And that's what that note is all about. The other initials, usually when I walk, I always have somebody with me for the most part to help. So sometimes people are in a hurry, so they'll sign and gotta go, we're down here. Or they're informed. I ran into a lot of people with Parkinson's and symbols. So we would finish writing out the date, or a lot of times we do it in front of them. So that way I can engage the electors as well as get their signature, get it correct. So that's what that's all about.
I'm prepared to accept that from an error, except number 30.
Line 22, which I skipped over inadvertently, Marjorie Johnson, J-O-H-N-F-O-N, Exhibit 11-4.
The affidavit says I put my phone number where the date should have been. And on the original petition, it appears that the date is missing. It appears that there is a phone number provided in the date of signing. And the same says, was it rejected for lack of a date?
Yes, it was.
So I think the affidavit would cure that problem. Any disagreement? If not, then I'll terminate step number 22. Because of the late news in the comment, I don't know if you want to suspend the hearings and pick it up tomorrow. I don't know what your factor formula is, but we would be willing to do that. How much longer do you anticipate to be needed?
By my count, we have 13 more names to prove to get to the 1,000, and at least the rest break.
Right. Well, I prefer to keep going. I mean, if we're going to continue at the same pace, and you have 13 more to roll.
Because the first thing we can do is make sure the affidavits and the second portion of everything, I think it's going to slow down a little bit.
Okay. I'd like to keep going, but I would like to take a break. Anybody have any problems with that? Then let's take about a 10-minute break. Will that be sufficient? The restrooms on the boat is...
The one's going by the popcorn in this place.
You know, my only concern is I don't know whether it's after 6 o'clock, some of the doors, or even the elevators may have some problems. I don't know. I know there's, because it's a bank building, there's some additional security.
I don't really know that you go up, and I think you can still go down.
Okay.
I know that is the safest way, and as long as you can get back in, these doors here. Okay, let's begin at time is 5:54 p.m. Mr. Hodges, if I may make a brief statement. When you asked us how many people we had left, it was the answer is 13, assuming you know that we preliminarily get those in. Because of the nature of it being preliminary, it would only be the right thing for us to do to try and get everyone that we could possibly get, even if it's preliminary. So I think a more accurate answer is more like 35.
Okay.
5 to 40 people. So I just want to be clear about that before we dive back into something that could be 2 hours.
I appreciate that.
Okay.
That's helpful. I want to be cautious, and when I say I'm preliminary accepting it, at this point, that's because I am being cautious. I'm a yet. As I think about those and hear more about the kinds of evidence together, I'm a yet end up going ahead and accepting that and making an oral ruling. This may or may not affect, I hope it will. If it looks to me like that I'm confident that I do not need to hear additional evidence beyond that, there is a possibility that I'll go ahead at some point, if it looks like there are at least 1,000 valid signatures, making that ruling orally to be followed up by a written decision. Now, I can think that you might still want to pad that with additional signatures, but I don't know that, given that everything is uncontested, I don't know that that would be necessary.
Okay.
Again, I'll be skipping around a little bit. Line 10, Jerome Hoff, H-A-U-S-E, this is petition 19-1-13. I'm near the ejection seat. That name of the liquid is H-U-G-H, Bill L, with no address, no voter found. In our review of that petition name, we did not believe that the name is H-U-G-H. Based on the address, though admittedly perhaps a little incomplete of an address, we found a Jerome Hoff, and we really believe that the signature was Jerome Hoff, H-A-U-F-E, at 7699 South Ivanhoe Way. And the county's certification is that there is a Jerome Hoff at that address. So this is probably the more complex request to restore that we've done today.
It looks to me, based on what I've seen so far, is that from the original petition, the plaintiff name is Jerome, appears to be Jerome Hoff. The address appears to be 7699 South Way, with the word Ivanhoe missing. And I think I'm guessing it was rejected on the basis of an incomplete address.
No, sir. It was rejected because they originally had typed in the name Hugh, H-U-G-H, Bill R. So you'd have to go back to the rejection coded list, Exhibit 10. page 3. So the original information given to us that the name of J.R. Hughes could not be located.
I'm probably confused because I'm looking at the notes on Exhibit 12 that says missing Ivan Hill. But I guess
I understand, but that's the subsequent information developed this afternoon.
Okay. So on Exhibit 10, page 2, you said?
Correct. Very last line. Maybe a different exhibit number. We may have given you the wrong exhibit number. Not the county list, but the rejection code list. It's 6, my son is saying. In the peanut gallery, the audience out here.
What is it?
Exhibit 6. Page 3.
Exhibit 6 is the rejection list.
Correct. Page 3 has the original rejection of that signature. It's the bottom of the page, section 19, page 1, line 13. So we looked up the original address, looked up the 7699 as a six. And Jerome Hoff at that South Ivanhoe looked at the signature and the tenant name and can clearly believe that we have a registered voter in Arapahoe County that has signed this petition and just did a mistake.
So what I think I'm seeing from the original petition is Jerome Hoff at 7699 Central Way in Centennial. The exhibit 10 indicates that there is a Jerome Hoff at 7699 South Ivanhoe Way. So it seems to me that I could accept that. I mean, you know, I can see that it would be difficult to make that match if I'm missing an incomplete street address. In some cases, do you have any further information I need to take into account?
No, I don't know further definitely from all that got entered in there. It should have been rejected for me to speak, man, but we can verify through our records that.
And I'll come in there and accept that one.
The next one's line 13. Judy Wedlow, W-E-D-O-W. And that is on petition 28, page 1, line 14. Correct. And Rose, can I ask you to pull this registration up? This is count number 13, petition original 28-1-14. Arapahoe County has certified her as a Republican with a registration number. And in the research done by the Secretary of State's office this afternoon, you saw her as a Democrat. But we have a certification from Arapahoe County that she is a registered Republican at this address. That's right, W-E-D-O-W. D-O-W-O-L.
Number
7871 Garfield. Rapa County is certified as a Republican. And I look. So that could simply be a data input error. Correct. We have a 322.06, which may be why it's a new affiliation, and that is more than 29 days. If you'll notice, the original exhibit, either exhibit 12-2, or the original submission on the claim, the first party registration date of 322.06. So this is a lady that did indeed sign her, change her party registration prior to signing the petition and did so more than 29 days before filing.
So based on the information from Apple County, it would appear that this is one that I can accept. I'm a little troubled by the fact that our information is supposed to be accurate from the county, approximately, based on the upload from the county, around May 5th, as I understand. So I'm not quite sure whether this means Apple County made an input error from, based on what they uploaded to our database or that it matters. But
if you don't mind, I'll make a comment, and I'll try to keep the commentary for a moment. The fact that I met this lady, in all my literature, says Republican, and a Republican candidate, grassroots, going door to door to collect signatures, so you support putting my name on the ballot. By that nature itself, she signed my petition. What I also find troubling, and I'm an IT professional, is that there is a lot of disenfranchisement electronically, not by any malicious intent. And I ran across that, again, going door to door, it's almost the most honest validation of who you are and what you're all about. And sometimes somebody may forget to change address or what have you, but I find often, only in 1,000-something signatures, there was almost 3 to 5% that were questionable based on electronic verification. So that's again why I went door to door, because you get eyeball to eyeball with somebody.
The same thing, based on the information from Apple County, I'm sure they accept that. If you have any comment on that?
No.
I'll accept that one coming out.
Line 29. Marilyn Van Horn. Van Horn, D-A-N-H-O-R-N. That's petition 24-23 or 29-23, I'm not certain. 24? Okay. We believe this to be a case where Madam J, J being the middle initial, he signed his key. The address matches, there's a Republican at that address.
In the sense that you're confirming from your lookup on the state Twitter registration system last year that there was a man down here and at that address who was a registered Republican, is that correct?
That's correct.
question is, then, on what basis can I conclude that Gene Van Horn, even though it's the same address, well, it sounds like merely based on the middle initial J, could be Gene Van Horn, but I'm not sure I can make quite that leap. It could be a Gene Van Horn, it could be a Marilyn Van Horn.
By address, can you not confirm how many registered voters you have at that address, right? In your database, if you go back on screen. There's simply a Michael A and a Marilyn J with that address at the home.
But there could be a Gene Van Horn who is not registered to sign the petition. As far as I know. I understand that there's some degree of likelihood it could be a match, but I'm not sure I have enough information without an affidavit.
The signs that I had, I was on active duty until Monday, and with the Army out of state, so I had very narrow time windows to try to obtain affidavits, call people who were rejected, what have you. I mean, if I had the normal evidence time, I'm sure I could answer just about every one of these as an affidavit. But just in terms of expediency, you're hearing from us. And so the affidavit you have is what you have. And again, honestly, I went door to door. So Liz Van Horn, the Gene in Maryland, Republican, I'm a Republican candidate, and she signed my petition. It's not a huge leap of faith, but it's the common sense. Now, I'm not arguing it's not common sense, it's just like from a liberal standpoint, trying to, Ms. Van Horn at this address, he's a Republican, signed it. It's a matter of is it Dean or I'm doing the best I can in terms of that. But again, I presented only samples of what I, from a common sense standpoint, would agree with myself. And order of priority of what passes the Smith test and good faith.
I appreciate that. If I'm thinking clearly, at least in this case, I'm not sure I can accept it because in theory, absent, and I understand it's hard to get all these affidavits in such a short period of time, but this could be, there could be two registered voters as shown by a registration database, but there could be a mother, for example, who may be Gene Van Horn, who is not registered and could have signed the petition with the same last name. Well, if they're not registered, we wouldn't have any data. You know what I'm saying? I mean, others, I can accept there is a Marilyn J. Van Horn registered at that address, but the signer is Gene Van Horn, and that may be another person, a different person who lives at the same address, but he's simply not a registered voter. And I would certainly like to conclude this hearing. So I think preliminarily I'm not going to accept that one.
Another thing on line 2, Gerald Frankel, S-C-H-W-A-N-K-L.
Petition 2, page 2, 8.
So in this case, the printed name on the petition is Gary Frankel, or whatever that name is. The information from Rapid County is that there is a Gerard, which I believe a Gary could be a derivation of. I mean, I think this is a little different from the previous one where we were comparing Maryland to Gene and making a link only based on a middle initial J, but here, I am maybe a little more inclined to accept that Gary could be the same as Gerard, the registered voter Gerard. Fifty-six, fifty-four. Cool. So that is it. That's enough. If I accept Gary as being the same as Gerard, I think I will put him there.
Line number 7. Charlotte Smith. And then it's Elias Smith. You found them map in your database for Smith at that address, but Rapid County did with a registration date of 5/15/06. And it may be a case here where this person registered after they signed the petition. I'm not sure that I have noticed that the registration date in Rapid County was after the signing. So that's not 29 days before. I have a bad note. I'm being informed I have a bad note. I believe what we know from the county affidavit at this point, we simply didn't spot this discrepancy prior to submitting the name. They did not register Republican until after they signed the petition. They loved McDavid so much that they went to register so they could vote for him.
So the Charlotte Smith, it looks like the affiliation date may be from the Rapid County, May 15th.
Correct. You signed on 423.
I don't I don't think I have enough information to accept that one. So. The rest of our challenges are different addresses. Rockwell County is 35 what address they're currently registered to. Their signature addresses are different. But their names otherwise are not. So without affidavits, they're not.
Besides that, I would also ask, because of the nature of the short time frame that we do have, and then Mr. Davis obviously was called away to the National Guard, that we do have some avenue to pursue to get the affidavits from the other parties. We believe that they will be a simple task, and we can get that done. And given the nature of the substantial compliance that these people did with voting rights being a fundamental right of their life, we would hope that the committee gives us the ability to pursue that.
Can you help me make sure I understand what this category is? There'll be a map. You're proposing to provide affidavits, I think. But the category here is that there'll be a match except if the address shown on the petition will be different than the correct voter registration.
That is the last grouping that's on this particular table. That does not apply to all of them. A perfect example would be, I'm sorry, I forgot her name. Jean Manning. Jean, whether J could have been a Jean or not. We would absolutely go in and seek an affidavit from her, providing the information to clear that up, whether or not there was a third Jean in the house, so that their intent could be clear.
Okay, now I'm getting confused a little bit.
Okay.
With respect to the affidavits and exhibits that I have right now, is there anything we haven't covered?
No, we've covered all the affidavits. We have covered all the affidavits, that's correct.
And the exhibits. Everything that's in evidence at this point.
No. We still have the last exhibit, what we entered in as Exhibit 13. And the leftover on Exhibit 12 that's in your hand right now, that the remainder are wrong addresses. The remainder on Exhibit 12 that we're trying to finish right now, the remainder of those are wrong addresses. The error code reflects the wrong address. So we have those remaining, and then we have all of Exhibit 13 remaining.
So, again, I think I'm probably just getting tired here a little bit. With respect to exhibits, give me an example. I'm trying to make sure I understand what the problem is.
Line number 6, Anita Alexander. You have listed from the Secretary of State's office that the registered address is 7020 East Bell Road. We have Anita Alexander at 7465 South Downing Circle, which matches our petition. We believe that's a move, but we don't have an affidavit to support the move. Arapahoe County has certified that there's an Anita Alexander at 7465 South Downing.
So with respect to this category, it may very well be the I database as well, so that there's an Anita Alexander at 7465 South Downing. The problem is,
is not a match for somebody's name.
Your database shows it as being at 7020 East Broadwood. Arapahoe County's database shows it as being at 7465 South Downing.
Yeah.
And I believe the petition does as well. I'm going to the original petition right now. And my basis of argument is that there's disparate data between the Secretary of State and the Arapahoe County, which my position, again, my restaurants that I walked through, literally I walked most of these by the list just to avoid confusion, is that these people were Republicans. They lived there in the district. They signed, but either Arapahoe County can't prove it or the state can't prove it. And in all fairness, is that these people, in this case, the Republicans, they live in the district, and their intent was to support me being on the ballot by signature. So, I didn't have opportunity to go out and request an affidavit from everybody, so I did the best I could based on who I could text in a day, in a day and a half. I'm the candidate, I'm walking door to door, I'm doing the best I can, but I can't fix data problems between two organizations. And again, it's nobody's fault, it's just the nature of the system. So Arapahoe County has certified that this person is a registered Republican and has the 637 at the address that is on the petition. Your database at the Secretary of State's office has a different address.
And it is our hope that these are the exact problems that we would seek to fix as soon as we possibly could, just given the opportunity.
Let me go back over this. I want to be real careful here. The petition, using this as an example of this category, in the case of Anita Alexander, the signature, the signage of that address is 7465 South Downing, etc. The Secretary of State database does not show a registered voter at that address. Arapahoe County's affidavit does show an Anita Alexander at that address. And that does appear to be simply a discrepancy between the databases. Now, why it bothers me, why, I'm not clear on why, but it doesn't. Since Arapahoe County says, well, I guess I don't know. I guess, again, I wouldn't be able to tell from Arapahoe County's information that arguably just simply if somebody who, in fact, did update their registration, they already were registered, they already were affiliated within the district, and they properly updated the registration, presumably address, presumably after, are too late for the Secretary of State's database to reflect that. In this case, using this as an example, the information in front of me is that there is an Anita Alexander at the address, a qualified voter at that address listed on the petition. Seems to me I could accept that.
If I may amplify, that is what I ran it technically was the bane of this audit was in the past there was a question of integrity and correctness with the Rockford County database we had a recall in that county of a person who told me not in 2 days. Several of my signatures that were rejected are on that basis. And so my claim is that they, again, I went to the door. In some cases, they're clearly Republicans by name in that county. It's just the Secretary of State database doesn't reflect it. Whether it was, again, how update is done, whether it be in batch or individually. And I don't want to put, technically, I do care, technically. But I don't want my, my status to be the question on why is that. These people intended, the Republican, they intended to thwart me, they signed. The challenge is how do we validate it? We almost can't. And so I would like and ask that, that this body fall on the side of liberal interpretation that these are Republicans, they live in the district. By hook and crook, they're validated. It's just they're not validated top to bottom, which is, again, not the voters' problem. Again, did they put in a voter registration form? I can't tell you, unless I literally go out to everybody who's rejected and say, oh, by the way, did you stick to R? It's showing you as a U. And I pulled out several examples of calling that into question. Is it the data? Is it the user? Or they intended by signing the petition to be a Republican. They intended to support me. I just can't validate it by, again, due process. I can't say 100% because the system doesn't allow me to verify that. I'm hoping Hav is going to fix that. But today, you guys have been patient enough to put up with me, and I have less than 10 to go. And so that's my argument. I don't want to waste your all time. Did they intend, or how it got broke, or how it didn't get broke, is the intent. They signed the Republican, they're living in the area, in the district, to be the liberal interpretation to allow them. And I'm sure you should talk.
Unless I'm missing something, again, I have in front of me information from Rockford County that they're using this as an example. If there isn't Anita Alexander, at the address listed on the registered at the address listed on the petition, and according to Rockford County, that's the Republican voter affiliated date, the party registration date is 2000, so clearly affiliated to different period of time. So regardless of what the Secretary of State's got about itself, and for whatever reason, how there may be a discrepancy, I have information from Rockford County that this is a person qualified to sign this petition.
The only thing that this spreadsheet does not show is can be updated for information with the county. That might verify that he was registered at that address since he signed the petition. We have no way of knowing that from this spreadsheet.
But it also accounted for if he was registered.
Okay. To know that how it changed his address, it doesn't show that he changed her address. It just shows that she's been registered since 2000. And she knows that it didn't happen.
I have a meeting meet more.
like that to have it leaving 8 more.
Ms. Enfield, I'm not sure I quite followed your last comment. So, I'm still stuck on the fact that I have information for Arapahoe County that does match. The registration information for Arapahoe County matches with the petition.
Has been registered, but it doesn't show some petition for with the county.
And how do you understand how that would matter?
And this has actually been registered at the address that she gave on the petition from signed petition.
Arapahoe County has it registered at the address that she used when she signed the petition. Secretary of State database does not, but Arapahoe County does.
And I think what Ms. Sanchez is saying is it may be that she changed her registration after she signed the petition to reflect her current address. But I'm still stuck with why it would matter. Because I can at least, regardless of where she is, on the basis she signed the petition, regardless of where she was registered, she was a registered voter, Republican voter in House District 37, longer than 29 days. I guess I am right now, I think it would not matter, I don't think. I mean, I think they kind of think it's true, but I don't think it would matter that she signed under the truth, that she signed, she did move, she signed where she was living, that did not at the time reflect the voter registration on file with either Arapahoe County or the Secretary of State, and she later changed it. But even if that's the case, at least now there is a registered somebody eligible to sign. It appears to be sufficient to establish that she was eligible to sign the petition on the date that she signed it. Even if she had not yet at that point updated her voter registration information, I believe. I think I can accept that. If that was an example,
right.
I don't know whether the others are exact.
The others aren't always as clean, but Charles Gill, line 11. Petition 21-10. Matt, I guess, Ms. Rose, I have a question for you. When you're doing this data search, have you set up a limitation for House District 37 or is it searching the entire state database?
It is searching the entire state, but it will let us know if the family is from another district.
Okay. In the database that I manage, we're dealing with voters across districts and duplicates between counties as to in regards to whether or not they are the same voters. We have found that nearly flawless is first name, middle initial, last name, and birthday. But even in the John Smith category, when you start adding middle initial and a birthday as part of the search criteria, it's very difficult to come up with a John L. Smith on a certain birthday, especially when you expand that out to the fact that they can be anywhere from 80 years old to 18. The odds are getting fairly close. In this case, you have Charles B. Gale. And if you could do a statewide search on Charles B. Gale, I believe there's only one. And he resides in House District 37. He's a registered Republican in House District 37. It is Charles P, Charles M. But only one Charles B, Charles Van Duven. he matches the 29 days, and he signed this petition. It was his intent to nominate McDavid.
This one seems to be different from the last one. This one for 37-14 is
now. And we may well need an affidavit to say that he's moved, which would be at least the second one that you have asked us to. It would be nice to have an affidavit to back up. And we're down to meeting eight.
I don't think I can accept that one based on the information in front of me. Because it's simply I don't have a match at this point. My question is his old address is in the district? His new address is in the district?
Well, I don't know if we're talking about the same individual, I don't think.
Well, that's why we asked the line of questioning, because there is only one Charles V. So, to your argument, is there a Charles V Jr., the third, fourth, or fifth rolling around? That's, I suppose, a supposition.
There could be many Charles V Boyles. Granted, there appears to be only one that's a registered voter.
I think Mr. Davis also, what he's getting to is the fact that, I mean, we're talking about a great deal of evidence and the chances of it being an error are very low, and using the proper standards, I think that it does meet that.
But here, both the Secretary of State database and the Rockford County database appears to be the same. They both show a positive deal at 3350 feet forward.
We would be happy to acquire an affidavit to try and clarify this.
And I don't know that it will be that opportunity, but I think an affidavit would be what would be important to fix that. But based on what I have in front of me,
I kind of agree with that. There's different people out and people out. And so, I'm told you guys, they found out at the moment that the story is in the right way of the
I actually used to go down this. I know this is really hard. It's hard work. It really is. this is hard to work. But, you know, I still have to be able to determine that each signer was a registered voter. And here, I don't see that this is a database problem. I mean, in fact, the likelihood here is that the person did in fact make and failed to update their voter registration because the Rapid County and the Secretary of State database agree on the information at this point.
It's just,
I know that this is difficult in this case, but for all I know, based on the information in front of me, there are two different trials we do. I mean, I think this would be a little different if we were talking about John Smith, where there may be any number of John Smith that show up both on the Secretary of State database and on the Apple Crimes database, but there also happens to be one that doesn't show up on anybody's database. I don't know if you're at this one, and it simply could be an unregistered voter without an affidavit, with the same name, and without an affidavit, I can't match up. I mean, that is a situation where I think an affidavit is required. I mean, I understand it may be harsh result, both for the candidate as well as the voter, who perhaps merely by not having updated the voter registration information is deprived of the benefit of signing a petition, basically the effect of signing a petition. But there is an affirmative obligation under the statute to do exactly that. And although that result may be harsh, that is an affirmative obligation. And until the person either complies with that by updating the voter registration information so that it shows up somebody's database, or supplies an affidavit saying, I am the same person that said that was registered and I simply didn't, and not yet at that time, I found it. And or not yet even at the time that the Rapid County provided this affidavit, had not updated my voter registration information. I just can't presume they're one and the same. I can't make that leap at this point.
You're using the Rapid database. No, a different one.
Yes, and that is
that answer. Maybe, Harry, you can help me. I'm trying to remember whether line 15, John Lipsky, is a preliminary except. I don't think he came in as part of the group of seven, but I just want to reconfirm that.
That was just over.
And said that you would come back.
Okay. We'll come back to John Lipsky, please. On petition 30-2-12, I think it's fairly clear that that is his signature, and that the address shows that he's a registered Republican. I'm not sure why there's notes above it regarding Susan, but maybe his wife signed a different petition in a different location. So I think that should have to be an easy one that we can accept at this point. John Lipsky, line 15,
but also petition 3212.
How is this coming back in the end?
This is, I can find that out.
I'm going to find the other petition section.
So we can accept this one?
Yes.
Okay. Then I accept, the next one's also in August, line 25, Linda Whitebread. That's 13, petition 1312. All at Easter, everybody else changed their address except for Linda.
So again, the Rapid County shows the voter registration address of 6700.Genco. That's the sign of 2662 Eastwood Avenue. Again, it sounds like one has to move, but she had not yet registered. At least the time Rapid County did the affidavit, the records did not reflect that. So you take an affidavit to file that one.
I believe Marvin's section would be the same thing. It would probably require a affidavit because it's a new scenario. So that without an affidavit, thank you.
It does appear that small infection is the same situation where the fact may have moved, but the applicant database is not matched to the address on the petition. Well, but I'm not sure that's this situation, because I'm not sure this is that much of a delay. And I just want to make it clear to me there really are two different situations here. And there are situations where, when you use the word victimized, I don't think people should be victimized simply by the discrepancy between Arapahoe County's database and Secretary of State. We know that Arapahoe County has all this information, and I'm accepting that. What I'm not accepting is where it appears that within cycle explanation, people failed to update their information. As of the date of the Arapahoe County information, And I understand that may be hard, but
if an affidavit we can clear.
If an opportunity arises for an affidavit, and I'm not necessarily going to allow that, and I haven't decided that at this point. I mean, the intention was to decide this today, because we have a ballot to certify on Friday, and I have to write a decision.
We'd be happy to write that. Line number three. I think this is it.
Yeah.
I just want everyone to think that our database does match the Arapahoe County database.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Line three, Adora Eckert, EICHER, petition 416. And petition 4, page 1, line 6. I'm not sure why the notes are there on exhibit 12, because I see that as a clear match. If the Arapahoe County database is a clear match with the petition citizen. Apparently there was, you're going to go sound a Lloyd, so we didn't skip this as one of the back exact matches with the petition signature and with the Arapahoe County database.
The decision for an application is that of Aldora J. Eicher. The Arapahoe County information indicates that there is an Aldora J. Eicher at the address listed on the petition 2453 Fremont Court. And it seems to me that I can accept that based on the information from the Arapahoe County.
I don't
know, just by me, the sexual affairs database will not reflect that person, but a lot of times the information does. So I'll primarily check that one.
And again,
I don't know
that the database.
Do we want to kind of confirm the number? I should say we need 7 more, that there are 5. That if I had affidavits, would be perfectly acceptable in the way that affidavit arguments have gone fairly quickly. We need 7 more.
I think I'm up to 99 too.
It sounds like 7 more to me. Okay. If you can go to exhibit 13. These are people who make Davis know personally. I think you said that Jesus were they. Well, that's spelled B-O-U-R-B-E-A-U. Is the wife of a person that he has flown with in the United States Navy for an extended period of time. And she says he's a registered Republican. I'm signing the petition. I don't know if I have immediately a petition number. Judith? Boerbeau, B-O-U-R-B-E-A-U. See on the petition 4306. Well, one thing, I think what I'm seeing from the voter registration information pulled up on the census, I don't think that the Secretary of State or Rapid Times, well, Secretary of State is not sure if you were there registered at all, anyway. And we don't have information from Arapahoe County on that one, so I don't have any basis. For accepting that one.
Bobby Wagner, 28301.
I'm sorry, what petition is that saying?
28, page 301. This is a gentleman who moved from Texas last year. He and his wife both changed the registration at the same time. He found his wife on the previous page, the both signed on the same day. But they have stated to note that they both changed the registration at the same time. This is to be an affidavit stating that I've changed my registration. I'm a Republican. I've always been Republican. I don't know if that helps to store his signature or whether. And we have not asked the county to look for his name.
Yeah. I mean, I think I would need both. I would need
I would need voter registration information from either Arapahoe County or the Secretary of State voter registration information, showing a voter registration address, which then by affidavit, the signer could indicate that they've moved, that they are that person. But I'm not sure. I mean, I think I would need both, if I'm thinking clearly. I would need both. But it could be because he's not registered.
That's about it.
I mean, I believe the rest are pretty much like that.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, it would simply require an affidavit to restore any more of my feeling at this point.
And I want to try to step back and figure out where we are. You know, as I was just indicating on some of these, I don't think an affidavit's going to be enough. You know, where I, at least one category where an affidavit would be sufficient is where there appears to be a match based on the name, a match between the signer and the voter registration database, either the Secretary of State or Arapahoe County, except for an address discrepancy. And then an affidavit could simply say, I moved. And I think I've accepted those where I had an affidavit. We called it five, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, where you did actually say an affidavit was probably true. And we didn't go through all of our examples that, you know, that would perhaps cure plus another entire list that we have of people that we believe that an affidavit would cure also, using the standards that you've been very clear tonight to say. I don't think that we have to guess anymore. I think that you've been very fair and very consistent on what you've applied. And we think that using those standards, we would have well more than it. So we are still at 992, is that correct? I mean, on the one hand,
Well, I think given where we are, that we're going about 7 based on the ones that I've come there accepted, I'm inclined to provide some opportunity to supplement the record with affidavits. And my dilemma is how much of an opportunity, and I'm trying to be clear about what the standard is. And I think, Mr. Flores, I think you understand it actually.
I don't think you've been very consistent in your ruling that the standard for the fairness.
And I think, and then maybe I don't want to foreclose other opportunities, but I'm going to allow some time to supplement the record. If it's by affidavit, there does need to be some link by that affidavit to something on file with either the Secretary of State's database or the Arapahoe County. I don't know whether you can do that, and I think I do have to put a limit on the time, and it's got to be sometime tomorrow, and it's got to be early enough tomorrow that we then can review that and analyze it. What I want to do is simply provide an opportunity to supplement the record and not reopen and not continue the hearing. I don't recall having done that exactly in the past. What I have allowed counsel to do is supplement the record with a brief on the legal argument. I don't recall continuing or allowing the evidentiary record to stay open. But on the other hand, subject to the time frame, I think that's okay. The problem is the time frame. For me to certify the ballot, provide finality, and for me to be able to actually render a decision in time to certify the ballot. I know it's hard, and it ends up being hard. And I agree with Mr. Ford. I'm among the multiple and competing principles here. One of them is that I want to provide the opportunity for voters' will to be respected. There is a line that we're right up against of doing that. But that's what concerns me, to try to provide some opportunity, even though no matter where I draw that line, it may end up that it's a harsh result, because I have to draw the line somewhere. And you are so close, it appears. That's also a factor in trying to provide extra opportunity to get there. But it's still possible that you're not going to make it, and I know that's hard. I'm inclined to say, I'll get some answers. I want to get some answers, and I'm inclined to say that I'll leave the record open until 2:00 tomorrow. And Mr. Flores, do you think that's sufficient? Is that a fair opportunity?
I would ask the lawyer to make a comment. It is right now, and obviously, you basically have a window of doing it, which is the worst time to death. And that's the window that's going to be open if it is tomorrow at 2 o'clock. I can tell you that I'm in court in the outcome. That's not to say that these two gentlemen here, I think, have a pretty darn good understanding of what they need to do, can't show that record and do so properly. And certainly I'll be there with the consultant with any questions also. I obviously am doing my job, and I would ask for more time. Yeah. And I didn't start with, thank you for joining us, more time. I think I'll stick with 2 o'clock, but I accept supplemental information from Mr. Davis, Mr. Salazar, Mr. Forrest. I would suggest that, assuming that's in the form of affidavit, that it would be appropriate to have some sort of cover letter, memo, or information that explains what it is and why it's relevant. That sort of relates it to the standards that I've been trying to follow tonight, so that'll help me at least. I don't want to leave anything to guess with as to what these affidavits, what purpose they serve. I'm not expecting anything complicated or elaborate, but just some help. At the very least, I'm just going to need a little bit of a statement about how the affidavits are going to allow me to accept signatures that previously were rejected.
So, would the proper way to do just to come in and turn it in prior to 2 o'clock? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's probably the way to go, and I just turn something in person.
Okay.
To the secretary, if you like to be visible, or to raise.
Okay.
I have to say from one of the two of you.
Okay.
Understood. Okay.
Yeah, he's going to get in now.
Yeah. So we will, I'll adjourn the hearing, and it's again subject to keeping the record open until 2 o'clock tomorrow.
Thank you, Scott.
Well, the line I'm drawing here is that I'm not planning on continuing the hearing itself, but I'm just simply allowing the record to be supplemented. I may be in hearing other hearings. Okay, thanks very much. So the time is 7:22 p.m. in Hurricane.